beheaded the Lord's Supper. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." And so, when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Amen.
I just want to share a few thoughts at the start of this new year, and they kind of springboard, if you like, from that very beautiful passage that describes just something so wonderful, doesn't it, about Jesus and who Jesus is and who the God is that we worship. And it's good to remember that and to refocus our minds around that. The God that we worship this morning is not the God who comes out with loads of pomp and ceremony and barges in on our lives and comes with aggression and force to impress himself upon us. He's this beautiful God who gets down on his hands and knees and who's willing to wash us and to wash our feet. And this morning I just wanted to say a few words around this theme. I kind of called it, "It All Comes Out in the Wash," which sounds a bit trivial in some ways, but it's also true if we don't take it trivially. It all comes out in the wash because we have a God who knows how to wash us and clean us and cleanse us in every way that our lives need washing and cleaning and cleansing. And for some of us, I think the last year of 2016, when we look back on it, perhaps there are things that we kind of would wish hadn't been there. Perhaps there are some stains on it that we would hope to get rid of. Perhaps there have been some disappointments and some things that have lingered with us. Some of us look back on the last year perhaps and we think, "I don't want another year like that one." Maybe some of us have had a better time and you're feeling encouraged at the start of this new year. But whichever way it is, we have a God who's in the business of getting to grips with the stuff that needs to get cleaned out in our lives. And he's not afraid to get dirty. Isn't that an amazing thing about Jesus, that he wasn't afraid to get dirty? When I read those verses again, I was so struck by how the opening of John chapter 13 is all about Jesus, who knew where he'd come from and knew where he was going back to. He was this incredible, heavenly, divine being. And he absolutely knew that his journey back to the Father was well underway. He was going back to this place where he was going to be in the fullness of his glory again. And he'd come from that place in the first place. And yet while he spends time with us on the earth, this snapshot of this time in that room together with his disciples around the Lord's Supper is a kind of picture of how he spent the whole of his time with us here on the earth, isn't it? The whole of his earthly ministry, he spent it as a servant. He spent it as one who came to minister to us, to get his hands into the dirt and the muck of our lives, the things that we created, the messy situations that we created for ourselves, and all the mud that's been flung at us that's been no fault of ourselves, but it's been the sin of others come against us. He got right down into the dirt of our lives and came to bring us cleansing and to make us new and to wash us. It's an amazing truth, isn't it? That Jesus was willing to do that. I was thinking how I spent a very short time, it was a great privilege being able to shadow Rob George in some of the work that he does as a doctor. Many years ago now, when I was younger and thinking about what I was going to do with my life. But I remember being inspired by that. And later on, when I went to do the Radical Network training here in Ichthus and train in theology and church leadership and so on, as I did later on, I decided that as part of that year, I was going to give some voluntary time to my local hospital, because I felt very inspired about the work that medics, and particularly Christian medics, do in the health service. And so I went just as a local volunteer care worker in the local hospital in Greenwich, which was called GDH, Greenwich District Hospital at the time, but it's gone now, been knocked down. And the sort of jobs that they gave me to do were often a lot about cleaning. That was generally what I was asked to do. I was sort of assigned to a geriatric ward, and there were lots of elderly people who needed help with their feeding, so I often had to feed them lunch. But the other thing I was to do was to often clean around their beds and clean around the room and that sort of thing. And because I was quite good and quite thorough at it, at my cleaning job, sometimes the nurses would say, okay, well, will you come and help me give a bed bath to these patients? So I even got involved in doing some of that. But actually, that cleaning process for people, giving somebody a bed bath, is not a particularly nice experience. I'm sure many of you know much better than I do. Coming up to close quarters with people's dirt, with people's grime. And it's not a nice experience for them either. And I remember actually the thing that struck me most from helping with some of these bed baths for some of these poor, vulnerable people who are very, very sick, very ill and very old generally, was many times they would be screaming and crying out because they didn't want to be unclothed, they didn't want to be exposed, they didn't want to be vulnerable, they didn't want someone they didn't know touching them. And I'm sure all of us understand that feeling of vulnerability. It's an exposing thing, isn't it, to let somebody in to the dirt of our lives on a physical level. And on a spiritual level too, sometimes we find the same thing. That our Lord Jesus, he wants to come close and he wants to get us clean, and we know that it's good for us. I'm sure those patients knew that it was a good thing for them to get clean, that they needed to be clean, that they needed to be washed and cleansed, but still the process of it was so uncomfortable and so embarrassing and so humiliating in some ways. They didn't want anybody to get close in that moment. And I wonder if it's a little bit of that that you see there in Peter as he's like, no, 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 never will you wash me, Lord. Perhaps there's a little bit of that feeling of the humiliation of being washed, especially by somebody who you want to impress and who you want to think well of you. Peter understood the vulnerability that there is in allowing the Lord to clean us. And yet we've got to put that aside, got to put that reluctance to one side, because we need to be clean people. Now, our bodies need to be clean for all sorts of really good reasons, don't they? For our own benefit, our bodies need to be clean. But also for other people's benefit around us, for the relationships that we have with one another. If we're dirty in our bodies, we go around feeling ashamed. You know, if you've had children, then you'll have had the experience of being someone being sick on you, or getting you dirty with their mucky chocolate fingers or whatever it is. And sometimes it happens at the most inopportune moments. And when you know you've got dirt on you and you can't get clean for whatever reason, it makes you hide away. And you want to get out of public company, you want to get out of public sight. There's a feeling that we have of shame when we know that we're dirty. We feel uncomfortable, physically uncomfortable, and we withdraw from other people so as not to be an offence to them. But also, if we're dirty, we make ourselves unhealthy, don't we, in our bodies. If our bodies are dirty, they're probably going to get sick. And not only are we going to get sick, but we're probably going to contaminate other people and spread infections and diseases to other people too. And of course, that's especially true if there are any wounds around, any open wounds. If there's dirt in an open wound, then it's going to very quickly get into the rest of the body and make the whole thing fall sick. That even if you're robust and healthy, you still can't stay dirty for too long, because dirt has an amazing way of finding its way in, doesn't it? Into our eyes, into our mouths, if we stay dirty. The Lord wants us to be clean people, and He is a God who knows how to get us clean and who's not afraid to do it. But what He needs is a people who are willing to be washed. Because all those things that are true of us physically when it comes to getting clean are also true of us spiritually. They're true of us inside. We need the washing of Jesus to come and clean us up so that we can feel confident and joyful in His presence, so we don't have that lurking sense of shame that's kind of sticking to us all the time, because inside there are things that we know are not right in our lives, or inside there are things that have happened to us that have left us feeling stained and dirtied. We need to be people who can get that stuff cleaned out of us so that we can have a real joy and a real freedom in our worship and a real openness in God's presence, so that we can be filled up to overflowing with the power and the grace and the life that He wants to fill us with. And so often it's the dirt, the undealt with dirt, that keeps us shut off and closed away and unable to really express our freedom in the knowledge of Jesus. And we need to be clean so that we can stay strong and healthy spiritually, so that we're able to fend off the enemy when he comes along. Too many of us find that our faith is too weak because it's got dirty and infected with stuff that just hasn't been cleansed away. Disappointments, discouragements, resentments, angers, things that we've done wrong, shame that we're carrying with us from unconfessed or unrepented of sin. And that stuff, it sort of stays with us all of the time and infects us, so that when the enemy comes along, we've got nothing to push back at him with. And we don't feel strong enough in our faith. And more than that, when we come together with our brothers and sisters, we're fearful of contaminating them, because we feel the mucky stuff that's somehow there in our lives, and it's not been washed and it's not been cleansed, and we are fearful that we're going to start to bring others down, make them weaker in their faith when they're around us. And Jesus wants us to be clean so that we not only feel that sense of beauty and confidence before Him, but that we can be strong and healthy disciples of His that push back the enemy and don't allow him to further pollute our lives. And as I've been praying about the congregation, and as I've been thinking about this coming year, I felt the Lord wanted to challenge us with this question about washing. Are we willing to come and be washed by Him? And not only the willingness, but do we actually have faith? Do we have faith this morning that Jesus is the sort of God who can wash us and actually make us clean? so that there is something new and clean and clear and fragrant about our lives, so that stuff that we've been sort of dragging along with us from years past doesn't have to stay sticking to us like staining filthy mud. It doesn't have to stay there, because Jesus knows how to clean us. He knows how to get us washed. He knows how to make us new. He knows how to help us throw off the past where we need to. And he knows how to help us walk in such a way that doesn't bring contamination to others, but instead releases the fragrance and the beauty of his presence and his goodness from our lives. Because I think that's the kind of church he wants us to be. And he wants us to have a sense of responsibility in our hearts and lives that says, yeah, you know what, Jesus? I want to be clean, but I need to be clean. Because there's a filthy, filthy world out there. And there's loads of people who are kind of living in the muck and the mire of sin and the enemy's activity around their lives. And they don't know that there's a way to get clean. But Jesus' exhortation to his disciples in this passage was, just like I've done to you, washing your feet, making you clean, you go and do it for one another. You go and help one another get clean. You bring each other into the cleansing and the flow of the work of Christ. Do it for one another. Freshen one another up. Encourage one another's spirits. And that's true here in the body of Christ. Jesus is prodding some of us and saying, you've received loads of great washing from me, but actually now it's time for you to pick up your towel and to pick up your bowl and to start to bring and release more cleansing and more life, more freedom from contamination into the lives of others. You know, over Christmas time, we've had loads and loads of different visitors through our door, people from our local community. And I can say that freely here, because I see this morning that we're all people who know one another here this morning. But we've had lots of people locally come through these doors, and you know, some of those people, several of them, many of them, don't know Jesus at all. That they're hungry and they're thirsty spiritually. And as a congregation, we need to all of us start to feel that responsibility that's there to be clean ourselves, so that we can confidently approach others and say, do you know what? Jesus cleanses. His blood washes us free of those things. He's done it in my life. He can do it in yours. Whatever your past holds, whatever the sins are that you've done, he can wash them, put them under the blood, make you new, give you a new life. But we only have that confidence, don't we, when we know that we've allowed the washing work of his Spirit to keep doing what it needs to do in our lives. And it's not just a one-off experience, that washing. It does happen once when we first get saved, but then there's this continual coming back, as we see in this passage here, the cleansing of the feet, the stuff that we pick up just as we walk through life. We're going to get dirty again. And some of us think, oh, well, I had a really good bath back at my baptism when I was 15 or whatever it might be. Now, I had a good bath then, so I should be fine. But Jesus reminds us in this passage, no, there is a dirt and a muck that we just kind of pick up on our feet. And if we just live in it, and we let it stick around, it starts to infect us more seriously. It starts to get in. It starts to hinder the healing, freeing work of Jesus coming through our lives. We need to come with an expectation and a willingness to say, yes, Jesus, wash me. Because it all comes out in your wash. There's nothing that I'm carrying with me that you can't deal with, Jesus, if I just bring it into your presence and allow your washing, cleansing flow to come and wash me again. You know, some things take a few washes, don't they, to get really clean, but they do get clean if we persist, if we wash them enough. And some of us, you know, we've dipped our toes with some areas of our lives. We've dipped our toes and said, oh, well, it still looks a bit mucky to me. Perhaps that's too stubborn, that stain. It's not going anywhere. And I felt the Lord wanted to say to us right at the start of this year, don't lose your faith in his ability to wash. Don't lose your faith in his ability to cleanse. There are some stains that have gone pretty deep and they need a few more dunkings. and they need more of his Spirit to wash over again. But don't lose your faith in that. And that's my message for us, really, at the start of this year, is that we will be a people who trust Jesus, that he knows how to get us clean and how to wash us from the past. Some of us spent too much of 2016 feeling low and unworthy, like a terrible Christian, like everything that we do or think is always wrong, and we felt that we were sinking all the time under the muck of our own sins and mistakes, of the things that the enemy's done around us. And Jesus is saying to you, come and be washed, and let the disappointment and the low feelings of the past year, let them be washed off today. Come under the flow of my Spirit. Let them be washed off. Some of us felt very weak in our faith last year. We felt that every time the enemy showed his face at us, we crumbled and we caved and we backed off. And Jesus is saying to us, come and let me wash you so that you stand confident and strong. You're not trying to hide anything from anybody. You're clean. You're clear. You're free. You're forgiven. So you can look the enemy in the face and tell him, be gone, Satan. You've got nothing in me. Jesus has washed me by the blood that he shed for me on the cross. He's cleansed me. He's made me new. He's put his new life, his Holy Spirit within me. That resurrection life and power, it lives in me. And now it's not by my righteousness and my good deeds and my excellent kind of person and my brilliant way of thinking and my great education that I had, or the lack of it. It's not those things that I stand in the confidence of, because I don't feel very confident in them anyway. It's in the confidence of the righteousness of Jesus and his life and his cleansing and his holiness. That's what lives in me. So I can look at the things that the enemy's trying to do in my life and say, be gone, Satan. Get out. Back off. Push out. Go away. And as we say those things, we're going to start to find there's more space for the beautiful things of God and his kingdom to come springing up in our experience, but also in the lives of others around us, because people need us to be people of confidence. Those newcomers who've been coming in over Christmas, they need us to be people who can say, is the enemy on your back? I'll help you get him off. This is how you do it. This is how you get clean. This is how you stand confident. This is how you pray in the flow and the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us need to carry that sense of responsibility that we can come alongside one another. There's always those who are younger in the faith, weaker in the faith, those who don't know him yet, that we need to get alongside and be ready to stand with and say, this is what Jesus has done in me. Let me help you find that same experience for you. And this coming year needs for us, I believe, if God wants to add to us, and I think he does, I think he wants us to grow as a congregation. I think he wants us to see more people coming into his kingdom for the first time. I think he wants to see more lives rescued out of their darkness that they're living in and brought into the kingdom of his glorious light. I believe that's what God wants for us, but he needs us to be the kind of people who have a bit of faith about the cleansing power of Jesus, who don't just rely on the fact we had a bath a few years ago when we got baptized, and then we're just kind of still living in the grime and the muck of the day-to-day stuff, who say, no, Jesus cleans me up. I'm coming to church this week. I'm going to stand in the flow of his presence and his worship. I'm going to expect that wound in my heart to get cleaned and to get healed. And if it takes every day this week coming into God's presence, I expect, Jesus, that as your Spirit meets me and as you move in my life, that my heart's getting stronger, that the wounds are healing, that it's getting cleansed, that there's a newness of life and energy and strength about me so that I can move forward in confidence with you. He's looking for a people who've got the faith to keep doing that, to keep coming and to keep receiving from his washing work. I want to finish by saying this and then just give us an opportunity to respond very simply this morning, and maybe Walter, you'll help us with that response. But the last thing I want to say, three things that wash us. The Holy Spirit washes us. And when we come into an atmosphere of worship together with God's people, when the Holy Spirit is being released through his gifts, the gifts that he gives to the body, prophetic gifts, gifts of encouragement, gifts of mercy, all sorts of different gifts, serving, as we come into the activity of the life of His Spirit, we should expect a cleansing work of the Spirit to be happening in us. The movement of the Holy Spirit gets us clean, and worship is a place to come and find that. I was remembering a lady a few years ago now at Revive who came and testified that during a particular song of worship that was being sung over the congregation, she'd been suffering from depression for 12 years, and she said while this song was being sung and ministered, she just felt something kind of snap inside her. That's how she described it. And she said, something broke, and I wept and I wept. And when I finished weeping and the song was over, I just knew that I was healed and that depression was not part of my life anymore. And she went on from there into a whole new place of healing and freedom because she stayed in the place of worship. She allowed the Spirit to come and wash her. But the Word also washes us. Ephesians 5:26 tells us that there is a washing that God's Word brings into our lives. And some of us have not applied the cleansing work of God's Word very much in this last year. And for some of us, that's your New Year resolution. You know the Lord is saying to you, get into my Word, because as you feed on it, as you let it into your life, it's going to start to bring strength and cleansing and healing to some of those places that you thought couldn't get clean. And thirdly, I want to throw out the challenge of baptism. It's another place that we get clean. It's a symbol, of course, going down into that water and coming up again, the washing away of our sins. And it's also a symbol of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives day by day as He fills us and immerses us and washes us with His life. But I want to challenge some of us here. You need to get clean in the waters of baptism. Some of you haven't done it yet. You haven't taken that step in following Jesus. But you know, for many of us, even if we were baptized as babies or as infants, before we were able to really remember the experience, Jesus is still calling us and saying, I want you to take that step of obedience and follow me. Jesus himself went into the water and was baptized. And if anybody didn't need to, it probably should have been him. But he did it. And it's a way of saying, no, Jesus, I'm following you. It's like your first steps, if you like, in the following of Jesus, because it was the first thing he did before he was launched into his ministry. And some of us here, we've kind of felt dirty and we felt encumbered by the muck around our lives because actually we haven't taken that step and said to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to follow you in obedience. I'm going to get baptized in water as a great symbol and a great receiving moment of cleansing life and faith in my life. And I want to encourage some of us that we need to take that step to get clean this year. But I want to challenge us with this word, get clean, come and be washed. Spend time in worship, spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, spend time in God's Word, listening to it being preached, but also reading it for yourself. Spend time there and expect, have faith this coming year that as you do, you are going to get cleaner and stronger and more confident and more filled with joy and more able to bring not a polluting, contaminating stream into someone else's life, but the opposite, the streams of life that come from heaven. And I think if we're a congregation that commits to that this year, I think we're going to see lots and lots of people touched by the flow of Jesus through our lives, don't you think? So I want us just to finish with an opportunity, and we've just got these bowls here. Don't worry, we're not going to wash feet this morning because I know that that's not a very comfortable thing. But we have these bowls of water around the room. We're going to just finish our time together with some worship and an opportunity to come. And just symbolically, if you're responding to what I've been saying this morning, to come and just wash. For some of us, we'll be washing away the last year and saying, Lord, I believe you just want to take away the stains of that year and bring me up fresh and new. For some of us, there are particular sins and things we want to say sorry to the Lord about. You can come, you can dip your hands in that water. And again, symbolically, just say, Lord, clean me. Make me clean. Free me from that anger. Free me from those evil thoughts that I have, whatever it might be. Let's get clean. For some of us, it's simply saying, Lord, I want to have more faith this year. I've lost my faith that you can really break through in every area. So come, cleanse me of unbelief. Wash me. Make me new. For some of us, it's because we know the Lord wants to use us to touch the lives of others more. And you want to come and just say, Lord, make me holy. Set me apart. Help me to be a good influence on the lives around me. Help me to bring more of Jesus to those around me and not the opposite. Whatever it is, let's take our opportunity this morning to come and to let Jesus do what he does best and to wash us anew. So I'm going to invite Ian just to come, just lead us in a song or two of worship. And as the worship is playing, you can sit, you can stand, you can move around, but there are several bowls at the back, several at the front. Just come, and as you do, we're in an atmosphere of worship and prayerfulness here, so we're praying that the Lord's going to be doing his cleansing work. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that there's no stain that's too deep, that you can't get it out. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we bring disappointments, we bring sorrows, we bring discouragements, we bring failures, we bring rebellion, we bring unbelief, we bring evil speaking, we bring whatever it is that has made our lives dirty, and we say, Lord Jesus, just make us clean, make us new, set us apart, make us ready, Lord, for the work you've got for us. We need to be fresh and clean if we're going to handle the dirty lives of others, Lord, to help bring them into your presence. Lord, help us. Help us to come this morning with a renewed faith in your washing, saving, cleansing work. Let your Spirit wash over us now as we worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So